Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49%. Based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant.
Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
It always seems to be very weird. Rewind Classic.
Hello, my name is Buddy Peace. I'm a producer, an editor, a DJ, a music maker, a North American Adonis, and for intro and outro purposes, I'm temporarily standing in for your regular host and proud creator of this particular podcast, Mr. Brett Goldstein. As Sun Ra once said, the music is different here. The vibrations are different. Not like Planet Earth. Planet Earth sounds of guns, anger, and frustration. There would be no one from Planet Earth we could talk to who would understand. On that note, I'm not sure how well I understand Wim Wenders' Perfect Days, but on reflection, maybe it's more of an experience kind of vibe. I'd have to agree, Sun Ra. Just go with it, I think, is the strategy for that one. Every week, Brett invites a guest on, he tells them they've died, and then he talks to them about their life through the medium of film. But this week, we are revisiting an earlier episode of the podcast while we build a bridge between seasons and schedules are aligning. We will be back as soon as possible, though, with the newness. Trust us on that. So yes, indeed, it is that time once more for a Films to be Buried With Rewind Classic. This particular rewind is from September the 6th, 2018, originally episode 9, featuring comic, writer, podcaster, and every episode intro name check featurer, Ed Gamble. A superb one from way back in the early days, when the podcast was mere months old, and where a lot of the current features and favourites you might have come to know and appreciate were still being sculpted and formed episode to episode. This is the first of 3 Ed episodes, and perfect for anyone who missed it initially, is a fan of Ed in general, and the Off Menu podcast of course, which I think this predates, or anyone who wants to revisit a really fun one in the archives. You may also enjoy a surprise cameo from show friend Lou Sanders, who, in the few seconds we hear, hints at what would become her own podcast, Cuddle Club. Let me take this opportunity to also remind you that Brett has a Patreon page for the podcast, upon which you get a bonus section every episode with a secret from each guest, more questions, and a video of each episode, which looks all nice and fresh. There are a selection of tiers on there too, and the uppermost tiers I make you a cinematic soundtrack mixtape each month with full track list that I reckon you'll enjoy very much. So if you're of a supporting nature and feel like some extras from this show, you'll find them all there. However, on this particular Ed Gamble episode, there was not a Patreon version of it. So just to let you know, in this case, this actually predates when we started the Patreon. So just to make you aware of that, apologies for that one. So that is it for now. Let's get you settled in for a historically important look back at a fabulous episode with the always great Ed Gamble. Catch you at the end for a quick sign off, but for now, please enjoy episode 9 via episode 296 of Films to be Buried With.
We're on.
I know.
This is such an odd setup, mate.
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, your host. I'm joined today in a bedroom by actor, writer, comedian, star of Mock the Week. It's everybody's favourite man called Ed. It's Ed Gamble.
Hello, Brett. It's the first time I've ever been called an actor first.
Well, I was trying to, like, save the best for last. No disrespect, you're a wonderful actor.
Bit of a burn on my acting.
Wonderful. Didn't mean it like that. What I meant is currently at the moment, mostly focusing on the stand-up, what with being at the Edinburgh Fringe
what
Festival.
What with not getting any acting parts.
And the lack of the current acting.
Yes.
Because you're doing too much stand-up.
That's it, yeah, true. Can I just describe the setup quickly for everyone, Brett?
You may, and if I don't like what you say, I'll edit it.
Fine. It's your bedroom. Yeah, at the Edinburgh Festival. Yeah. I'm sat on a computer chair. You're sat on a kitchen chair. Mm-hmm. And for reasons of sound quality, we're sat quite far apart. Yeah. So there's quite a big gap between us. Mm. And it feels like you're interviewing me for some sort of sexy job.
It does. And also the way that I've sat, I've realised my legs are quite wide open.
Spread eagle, I'd say.
And they weren't a second ago. So it did look like a move. Anyway, welcome to my bedroom. We're at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You're doing your show. It's called Blizzard.
It is called Blizzard, correct.
And how is it going?
It's been very nice, thank you.
Yes.
Enjoyed it very much. The typical Edinburgh Fringe roller coaster.
Yes.
Some nights you feel like the best comedian in the world. Mm-hmm. And then the next night you might only feel like the second best comedian in the world. Or lower, much lower than that. But it's fine.
But always in the top 7,000.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I reckon. I don't want to sound arrogant, but I think I might be in the top 7,000 comedians
in Britain. Performing at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Performing at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, yeah.
I'd agree with that, definitely. I'm just glad you cracked the top 7,000. Finally, well done. What about films and that? Do you like them?
I do. Right. Does anyone not?
Some people don't like films. And these days, a lot of people just watch the telly, don't they?
Yes, I must admit, I think my love of films has waned somewhat in the last 5 or so years.
Welcome to the show!
I do. I really like films, mm-hmm. but I think my attention span has gone.
Yeah.
So I like going to the cinema because you have to watch it. But I'm very bad at watching films or television. Like, I'll just sit down and my mind will wander so easily.
Yeah. That is why I constantly fight for the cinema, because I do think it's like the last place you can, if nothing else, concentrate for now.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
Turn your phone off, you're in the dark, you ain't got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But at home, you know, them sort of arty films.
Yeah.
Art house, if you will. You couldn't watch them at home because you've got to give them time. They're quite slow. You'd be bored.
Also,
you'd be checking Twitter.
There's no one else there to see that you're watching them and go, ooh, he's posh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? To watch an arty film, you need someone else. You need to be like watching it and thinking, am I doing the right face?
Shall I tell you a story I've never told on this podcast? I've just realised about arty films.
Go on.
My sister, so I go to London Film Festival every year. It was always like a highlight mm-hmm. of my year. Love films, don't I? And my sister always got jealous because I would sometimes take my mum, I'd go with my dad, but I never took her because I always thought, she don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then she was like, how come you never take me to the London Film Festival? And I was like, all right, I'll take you. So I took her to see a film called Ma Mère. It was a French film. It had Isabelle Huppert in it.
Yeah.
It had a very high pedigree. I thought, well, she doesn't like this. I gave it a go. We went to see it. The first sign of trouble was that the only audience were made up of men in trench coats. We also had to get... we were like right at the end of a row, but it was like a row against the wall. So once we're in, we can't leave.
You were trapped, yeah.
Yeah. So basically the film begins with someone's mother dies. Oh no, dad dies. Dad dies. And he gets on the floor and masturbates over pictures he finds in his dad's drawer.
Right.
Then he's forced to spend time with his mum who he hasn't spent time with before. She takes him out for the evening. Her and her mate stick a finger up his bum while they're in a taxi together.
While in the taxi?
Yeah. Then towards the end of the film, things escalate.
Things escalate from there?
Towards the end of the film, these are all spoilers. She cuts a hole in her tummy for him to crawl back inside her. Then she dies at the end, the very end of the film, which I do think is one of the great endings in cinema. He's at the hospital. She's in like a sort of glass, almost like a glass coffin, like Snow White. And he's, you know, like an E.T., it's almost like that. And he's banging on the window, like, let me see her. And the doctor lets him in, go on, have one last look at your mum. And then the doctor walks down the corridor, runs screaming into the room to find him furiously wanking underneath a glass coffin. And then he chases an ambulance down the street to the song, So Happy Together. And I said to my sister, that is why I don't take you.
I mean, what are the French up to?
I don't know, but that's like...
Good Lord.
That's why they make good films. You don't get that. You don't. Ken Loach don't do that. And which is a more entertaining film? That or Kez? Do you want a bird in the bin or a boy trying to climb back inside his mother?
I think, why can't we just have a happy medium?
What is the middle ground between those two?
Wanking over a bird in a bin.
Yeah, that sounds like Dumb and Dumber. That's the middle ground.
That might come up later.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So
that's all right.
Films, you used to like them.
No, I still like them, but I don't watch as many films as I think I should.
Oh, terrible news, and I forgot to tell you when you arrived. Oh God, it's so bad that I left it so late, because it's going to be a terrible shock to you, and I probably should have warned you, but oh God, how do I say this? Oh, Ed, you've died.
Oh no.
You died, I'm so sorry.
At the Edinburgh Festival?
How did you die? You tell me.
Oh, it was at the Edinburgh Festival.
Okay.
I mean, the more realistic answer would be from complications relating to type 1 diabetes.
Mm.
But probably for the light-hearted version, I went up Arthur's seat.
Yeah.
And I tripped over a shoelace.
You're
and
right.
I rolled all the way down to the bottom.
Sort of. I mean, it's a good... Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, I only died right at the end as well. So I rolled all the way down.
Like in The Princess Bride?
Yeah, I tumbled all the way down. I was like one of them cheeses in Gloucester.
And as you were rolling down, did you go, as you wish?
No, what I was doing was going, oh no. That's what I was doing. Just keeping it realistic, Brett. I was going, oh no. Yeah, stuff like that.
You died right at the end?
Yeah.
So you experienced the whole journey.
Yeah, and I took out tourists from all over the world on the way down. Wow. They're all dead as well.
Oh, fucking, it was a massacre.
Yeah.
The Arthur Seat massacre, it was a massacre.
And about halfway down, I'd taken out a lot of tourists accidentally, but about halfway down, I was like, look, this is the end for me. I may as well take out a few more so I, you know, learn how to steer myself and take them out. Yeah. So, towards the end, it was a bit like live action Sonic the Hedgehog.
it's a great death.
Mm, thank you.
Is death something that worries you?
Not really, you know.
Yeah, looking forward to it?
I'm not looking forward to it, but it's not something that keeps me awake at night. I don't think I've never been one of those guys who stays up late pondering the problems of the universe.
What is it you are thinking about at night?
I just sleep. Just have a nice sleep, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's more on the other side?
I sincerely doubt it.
Okay.
Also, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
This is enough, isn't it?
You've put in the hours.
Yeah, people are like, oh, life's too short. It's not really.
No, I do agree with that.
It's quite long. It'd be so annoying if you died and then you're like, oh, now there's something and this is not finite anymore. This is forever.
Yeah, people always say live every day as if it's your last. Then you get to the other side and it's like, oh, surprise, there is no last.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's forever now.
I was doing so many mad things just because I thought...
It depends what it is, really. If it was like you're just floating around like a bit of gas, that'd be all right. As long as there's no like admin or chores or you have to chat to anyone. It'd be all right. If you're part of just a larger consciousness, that'd be fine.
If you were a hive mind.
Yeah, if you're part of a hive mind. But if it was like,
you've got to make individual choices.
Yeah, you're working in heaven now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't like that.
At a low-level admin position.
Yeah, because that'd be what I'd end up in. I've had it too good on Earth.
Do you think I get to be a comedian.
No, there's no stand-up. But I think because I get to be a comedian and do what I love on Earth, probably when I get to heaven, I probably have to put the work in and work in like tax or something.
Oh, God, this is awful.
Yeah. So answer that question. I don't think there is an afterlife. If there is, I hope you're a bit of gas and it's not admin-based.
I mean, now I'm scared of death. Mm. Because of your admin base.
I've made myself. I've given myself the willies.
Someone stayed up today.
Yeah.
Well, there was good news, actually.
Oh, excellent.
good news. Surprise. Surprise. There is a heaven.
Right.
And there's no admins.
Yes.
Admin is taken care of by the hive mind, which you didn't join.
Okay.
Because it turned out you were given the option when you got to the door and they said, you can join the hive mind, there's an awful lot of admin. And you went, fuck that. I'll just be a floaty gas man. But the floaty gas man, everyone wants to talk to, but nice people, and they just want to talk about films. They're obsessed with them.
Okay, cool.
And they want to know about your life through them. And the first thing they ask is like, what's the first film you ever saw that you remember seeing?
That's a tricky one, that. The first film I remember seeing that actually had an impact on me.
Yeah.
It's probably, there was a film, that, this isn't my official answer, but I think I probably saw this before the film that I am going to give as my official answer. Okay. But I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
And I saw it on video. It's the only video that my grandparents had. And it's an animated film called The Velveteen Rabbit.
Right. That is a real film.
Yeah.
It's quite a short film.
Yes.
And it is about a boy who has a rabbit, toy rabbit, and loves it and adores it. And then the rabbit, he gets mumps or he gets scarlet fever or something like that. And rabbit has it. And so they have to burn the rabbit. It's the Ken Loach of animated film.
Right. This will be why I've blocked it out of my mind. Yeah. That sounds absolutely horrific. Yeah. And I apparently watched that every time I went to my grandparents as well. What a miserable little child.
Burn
I
it be. Again.
Burn the rabbit.
God.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely miserable.
Why are all films about rabbits so depressing?
I know.
Watch it down, Velveteen Rabbit.
Who framed?
Who did framing the poor cunt?
Why are you framing the rabbit?
Leave the rabbits alone.
The rabbits have been through enough, haven't they?
Yeah.
Still, fit wife.
So fit. Frame away.
Frame him.
He's had a nice life.
Get it framed. So, my official answer is the first film I remember seeing at the cinema, which was with my dad.
Yeah.
The first time I went to the cinema, I think. The first time my dad took me to the cinema anyway. And it is Mr. Nanny.
Oh, great film.
Starring Hulk Hogan.
Love
a hugely movie. Underrated actor and now a very problematic celebrity.
Yeah, but is his acting good enough to forgive it all?
I mean, of course not. Of course not. I mean, he is a hugely underrated actor, but I don't think he's traditionally a good actor.
No.
I think he brings the same thing to the role every time, and that thing is a moustache and some lips like this. Mm.
Ed just did an excellent Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, brother.
Miss Nanny's great.
It's really good fun. I mean, it's in a weird tradition of films. Yeah. Big men playing babysitters. There's the Vin Diesel one. Is that the pacifier?
The pacifier.
Yeah. I'm sure there's...
Kindergarten Cop.
There you go. Yeah.
And then, well, the only one that doesn't fit the bill that is a very strange film in hindsight is the film Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton, where the twist is the husband does a bit of work at home.
He's not big enough, though, is he?
Yeah, he's not big enough to fit the bill.
He's not big enough.
He's quite slender.
Yeah.
That was a weird niche subset. Slender parent.
There's three men and a baby, of course. There's triple slenders, although Selleck's beefy.
Yeah, and he's got the tash.
Yeah.
Makes him.
Yeah, that's the same
manly.
Genre. Mr. Nanny's a great film.
Yeah.
I have actually seen it since.
It holds up.
Yeah, I think it holds up.
Does your dad like it?
I doubt it, sincerely. I can't imagine him liking that.
Where was it you went? Do you remember?
No, it would have been like around sort of Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of around there, southwest London.
Nice.
We'd have gone to have seen Mr. Nanny.
Just you and him?
Just me and him. So I think that's probably why it sticks in my memory.
Do you have siblings?
I have a half-brother and half-sister.
Okay.
So I've been to the cinema with them plenty. Right. But this was pre them being invented.
Okay.
So, yeah, big trip to go and see Mr. Nanny. I remember being quite excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good film, really, is it?
I agree to disagree.
It's fun.
Yeah. I think it's one of them, like, the films like that sort of do what they are meant to do. And Mr. Nanny, I think, does it perfectly well.
Yeah.
I think you watch it going, well, this was a failure of the big man babysitter film.
Yeah. I suppose there's no way you're going to see a film that you know Hulk Hogan's in playing a babysitter and you're expecting anything other than that.
You don't come out of Miss Nanny going, well, it wasn't Schindler's List.
Yeah. You know, I was expecting something a little more highbrow from Hulk.
Was that even based on a true story? Was he even met a kid?
Horrible children as well.
Yes.
I quite enjoyed films like that, I think.
Horrible
where the children are just absolutely off the leash.
Yeah. Were you not off the leash? Is that why?
No, I was very, very well behaved, I think,
right.
At home. But they were doing horrible things to him, like they were electrocuting people.
Do you know what? I think Mr. Nanny was around a similar thing of like Home Alone, where it became like very violent slapstick was in.
Yes. And Problem Child. Do you remember those?
I remember Problem
films?
Child.
Yeah, yeah. Slapstick violence. Violent, from children.
Horrendous slapstick from children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, the more I think about it, it's quite disturbing.
And I'm not good at, I mean, it's bad for your podcast, but I'm not good at remembering details, Brett, of films. So I'm very much calling upon you to remember details of the film. But I believe there was a bad guy with a metal head.
It's possible, but I also think you might be confusing it with Suburban Commando.
Oh, well, that's perfectly possible because I am a big fan of Suburban Commando also.
Where Hulk Hogan plays a big man alien.
He plays a big man alien, and there's clearly an important scene that's edited out early on that they do a callback to at the end. It's like when you do stand-up and you end up doing a callback to a joke you've forgotten to do. There's a bit at the end of the film where Hulk goes up to some kids playing on a skateboard in the street. And he does a big flip on the skateboard. He like does an amazing ollie and lands on it. And he hands it back to the kid and he goes, tell your mother to keep practicing. Bears no relevance to anything else that's happened in the film. Wonderful film, Suburban Commando.
Do you think when they were at the premiere of that film, the editor turned to the director and went, oh, fuck.
I'm so sorry.
I forgot to put him
the bit with the kid's mother.
The skateboarding mom. I'm so, so sorry. Is it out now? Has it been... Oh, it's in all the cinema.
Big fan of the Hulkster.
Yeah.
Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain is another classic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just the memory of going to see it with my dad. I was very, very excited to go and see a film with him.
That's very sweet. Do you go to it? Is that something that continued? Or was it after midnight? Really. Like, fuck that. That was shit.
I don't think he goes to the cinema, really. We used to actually, when I was younger and then my half-brother and half-sister were born, we all used to go on trips to the cinema.
Right.
All of the Lord of the Rings films. Got some lovely... Lovely memories from those.
Yeah.
I saw the second one four times at the cinema.
Oh, my God.
That's about 13 hours worth.
That's your life.
Yeah. Yeah, if I go over there, we'll watch a film now and again. But my dad does a thing where he insists on putting on a film, obviously, and then falls asleep halfway through it, which I think is a very dad thing to do.
Yeah, my dad sleeps through everything.
There was one night we went out for a few drinks. Like, I was just about the age to, you know, go out for a few drinks with my dad.
Yeah.
We were both absolutely shitted. 12. Yeah, it was 12, knocking back the voddies.
Yeah.
Got back and he was like, right, should we watch Ben-Hur? I went, no, it's like, come on, it's like midnight, like we're both drunk, let's not watch Ben-Hur. He's like, if you've not seen, because I've not seen Ben-Hur, he's like, well, you've got to watch Ben-Hur, you've got to watch Ben-Hur. He's like, put on Ben-Hur. So I put on Ben-Hur and he fell asleep within a minute. And then I went, Dad, and he went, oh no, it's bedtime, I think, we can't watch a whole film.
Ben-Hur is 3.5 hours long.
Yeah. Well, not in my dad's mind. It's 1 minute. That's all he needs.
He understands the power of the edit.
Absolutely.
Well, that's lovely. What is the film that scared you the most?
Oh, it is a good question, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't think I scare very easily.
You like horror, don't you?
I do like horror, but I don't think I like horror because it scares me.
What do you like about horror?
I find horror quite funny.
Okay.
I find it impressive. I think it's a very, it's an inventive genre. I think there's lots of room for invention. And I like silly horror as well. And I probably like the horror films that other people think are a bit stupid. Like I like all the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
Great films.
All of them.
All of them.
I like how they went from trying to be scary to realising the comic potential and then just going all in on that. Same with the Evil Dead trilogy.
Yes.
Realised how funny that was.
Yes.
I really like the Saw films. I like the Hostel films.
I don't like those.
You don't?
Things. I don't like people being hurt slowly films.
Right.
But I understand there's a market fit. But I get upset.
But what I enjoy about that is not the people getting hurt slowly.
Right.
It's the ways in which
people are getting hurt slowly.
People are getting hurt slowly.
You like the invention of how slowly they're being
hurt. Yes, exactly, yeah. And I think it's a very silly idea and I think they took it to... It's Max, and I enjoyed that very much. And Saw 2 has one of my favourite endings.
What happens at the end of Saw 2? Spoiler alert.
You assume the two events that they're cutting between are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
But then it turns out one of them happened ages ago, so they're far too late to do anything about it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good.
That is good.
Blew my mind, mate.
That is good.
Really liked it.
Have you seen Jigsaw, which is the 12th Saw film?
I have not, much to my shame. I'd imagine it's quite bad by this point.
I think it's good. I think they've reinvented it.
They'd reinvented it as a darker, a darker film.
I think, yeah, it's a re. I don't know what they've done.
I really like it. I think I've got up to number 6 on DVD, including the souvenir box where there's a little paper saw in it and you press a button and it goes, and spins round.
Yeah.
Like that very much. So it doesn't scare me that much. I find them quite amusing.
Watch them on your own?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Love it. Always looking out for new, terrible looking horror films on Netflix.
Interesting. What about the, high class, highbrow, your Hereditaries, your Exorcist, that sort of stuff?
You've just named the two films which I was going to bring up as genuine scares.
Shit, I'm sorry, please.
That's all right. No, it's perfect.
Okay.
So, The Exorcist, I think is probably quite a boring answer to this, but it is one of the films that has absolutely scared me the most because I watched it probably when I was 12. It was on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I stayed up late to watch it.
Alone?
Alone.
Naughty boy? Or were you a lad?
I think I was probably a lad.
Okay.
I don't think too naughty boy. I think it was probably on at like midnight or something.
And your dad was like, let's watch Exit.
Yeah, my dad was fast asleep immediately, possessed by the snore demon. I stayed up late to watch it, and I think, yeah, it's just an immediately creepy film, isn't it?
Mm.
But with two standout moments that still scare me now, which are down the stairs like a crab.
Yeah.
That's absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
And the splicing in of the demon's face.
The scary demon.
So scary.
Mm.
I think I get more scared by weird stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than not jump scares or anything like that, but like extended weird things.
Yes.
Which is why Hereditary absolutely petrified me.
I'm so glad we can talk about this. No one seems to... Hereditary fucked me up.
Yeah. I wouldn't see that by myself.
Oof.
I was fetal position in the seat in the cinema, like knees pulled right into my chest.
Yeah.
So scary. And so weird. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
I genuinely had the lights on for a week after that. Yeah. Like nightmares. But I felt about it the way I feel about, like, when you if you've done drugs, I've gone too far and I can never come back and I wish I hadn't done that. That's how I felt about Hereditary. And I was like, I love horror films. And I saw Hereditary. Yeah. I was like, I've gone too far. I wish I hadn't seen that because it haunted me. It's so scary.
It's so scary. And I was so excited to see it as well because all the lead up to it, the trailers were fascinating and they obviously mislead you completely.
I deliberately avoided the trailers. What did they do in the trailers?
Ah, so the trailer, this is massive spoiler warning. The trailer makes it seem like it's going to be a film about the little girl.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So all the trailers are like shots of her and like her chopping the bird's head off doing that.
God.
And like the whole thing about like, but when you die, who's going to look after me? And so there's this thing about the granny dying, but then they show shots from the funeral and make out, I mean, this is a huge spoiler warning. They do it like the funeral, her funeral, the little girl's funeral, is still the granny's funeral.
Oh, clever.
So you just assume that it's a film about a creepy girl. So you get there and then that happens, you know, half an hour in. I assumed it was a hallucination sequence.
Yeah.
And then you finally realise it's real.
That sequence, the thing that happens to the girl.
Yeah.
One of the most upsetting things I've ever seen.
Horrible.
What I realised about it, what makes it different from most like horror and stuff, is the amount of time they spend on the aftermath.
Yeah.
Like, the thing happens, the thing is shocking and horrible. And if they cut straight to the next bit or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's because they hold on his reaction for ages. And then it's so slow, him getting home, and you're just stuck in this feeling of fucking...
Great bit of acting from that lad.
Oh, really good. Everyone's very good now.
He's absolutely frozen, but there's so much going on in his head, you can tell.
Fucking scary when she sees her mum very early on.
Yeah, really scary.
Terrifying film.
Big jump scare. And then, they're just... Oh, God. I mean, there's so much going on in it, isn't it?
I'm sweating, thinking about it.
Constantly scary.
Yeah. Some people don't... the people sat next to me in the cinema, it ended and they went, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. I thought...
It doesn't connect with some people. I sent my friend Matt to see it.
Mm.
I was like, it's absolutely terrifying. Because I think I tweeted about how horrifying I found it. And he texted me going, it's rubbish. I wasn't scared once. I think it's people who don't watch a lot of horror.
Really?
Who just don't connect with it.
Well, Mark Kermode thinks the opposite. Because he didn't like it. And he was like, if you're not a proper horror person...
Nah, that's not true, mate.
I agree too.
Not true.
I agree with you.
Not true.
We like horror. We like Hereditary. you pick The Exorcist. He loves The Exorcist.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Kermode.
Sort your life out, mate.
Give it a break.
Acting him widely respected.
Hugely respected. I'm a huge fan.
I think I'm wrong now, actually. Not Hereditary. Hereditary shit, mate.
Anyway, back to Jigsaw. Which he did quite like. Let's leave him out of this.
Yeah.
So, good answer. I'm glad you like Hereditary. I guess it makes me trust you. What's the film that made you cry the most?
I've got two answers for this, Brett. One lighthearted and one horrible.
Should we go with horrible so that we can come out of the darkness?
Okay. Dear Zachary.
Oof, fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, without spoiling it, it's a
I don't want to spoil it because
yeah, it's a documentary.
It's a documentary, but it's edited like a crime film, yeah, essentially.
And stuff happens.
And when the big stuff happened, I was watching it in bed.
Alone.
Oh, God. And when the big stuff happened, I closed my laptop, threw it across the room and went, oh! And then couldn't stop crying for about an hour. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
The editing's incredible. The story's gripping.
Yeah.
But it's the most I've ever cried at a film. And not like, oh, there's a few tears coming, like from the gut, like almost vomiting out tears.
Yeah.
See, I told you, it's heavy. It's heavy.
Made me go quiet.
Yeah.
just remembering it. Okay, for God's sakes, what's your light?
Bigfoot and the Hendersons.
Oh, lovely film.
Great film, lovely, and the tears were all of pure joy at the end.
Moving.
The final scene of Bigfoot and the Hendersons.
Off you go, mate.
Off you go, so we're all sad that he's off.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Who's that? Who's that he's being joined by? An entire Bigfoot family.
All the other Harrys.
All the other Harrys, mate. It's so wonderful.
Yeah. John Lithgow.
John Lithgow. Unparalleled. I love that guy.
Never a bad performance. Yeah. Never a bad film, I'd say. It was big something. He's in odd films.
Is he in some odd films? What else is he in?
Raising Kane. Love it.
Yeah, not seen it.
He plays like five different... He's like someone with multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
He plays like a woman and a man and a crazy person in there.
Great.
It's great. He'd love it.
It's like a big audition tape.
It's a really well-edited show reel.
Yeah.
love him. And he is one of the very few proper actors who can do really proper, highly respected dramatic acting and really good, silly comedy acting.
Yes, he is. He's proper. He's got that thing of being quite a big, authoritative man, which means he can do dumb comedy very well because he can just undermine his own physicality. Same with the now slightly problematic Jeffrey Tambor, I think, where they've got that sort of deep timbre to the voice, deep timbre to the voice. So they can carry off comedy very well. Also, John Lithgow's in my favourite television performance of all time.
Heard Rock from the Sand?
No.
Dexter.
Dexter. The best series of anything, I think. Dexter series.
But imagine going from Third Rock to the Sand to Dexter. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, great actor.
Great actor.
But that film makes me weep. I've got memories of cryy things from when I was younger that are just quite happy things.
Are you a crier, a public crier?
Yeah, I love a cry during a film.
You're a town crier.
Yeah, I'm a town crier, mate. Lovely. Yes, I'm a town crier.
Right.
Indeed.
Don't mind. Not embarrassed.
I'm trying to work out what the last thing that made me cry in the cinema was. Maybe Inside Out?
Oh, fucking hell. That's
deep, isn't it?
That's heavier than Dear Zachary.
Yeah.
Inside Out is so heavy.
Yeah. It's
I was like, at all Pixar films, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing to me? I came here for some... I didn't come here to be profoundly depressed.
The Bing Bong stuff in Inside Out, I out loud when it starts to happen, spoiler warning, when he starts to fade away, you know what he's going to do, he's going to sacrifice himself. Yeah. I out loud in the cinema went, no, Bing Bong, no! I couldn't control that. It was with my girlfriend, we're both just melting.
Bing Bong.
And I bought her a Bing Bong toy, right, that year. And regularly would hide it. When she said, "Where's Bing Bong?" I'm like, "Who?"
That's fucking weird.
Lady Bird. I had a little cry at Lady Bird.
I cried
as well. I thought that was a lovely film. Yeah.
I really related to Lady Bird.
Because of the mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah. Because of being a teenage girl growing up.
Yeah.
In that part of America. What?
Do you feel like we've cleansed the Dear Zachary suggestion now?
Okay. But you'll cry in front of your girlfriend in front of...
Oh, yeah. I love it, mate. We've been going out for 8 years. It'd be weird if I kept that hidden from her.
Be weird with it? All right. Okay. Not here to keep it to yourself. No, I really admire it. I find it very difficult to cry in front of people. I don't like it.
Yeah. But you love a cry at a film, right?
Yeah, but I have to be alone.
Right, okay.
That's why certain films like Inside Out, I went alone. I'm not telling you something. I know. Listen, it's got Pixar on it. Yeah. I know I'm in trouble. No one's coming with.
I went to see Up with Anish Kumar. And we were watching it in 3D. And the first 15 minutes, I turned around and there were tears coming out from underneath the glasses. Anish, it was amazing.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49%. Based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school?
I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board.
NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program.
That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online.
And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Lovely. What is the film that you used to love?
Then you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh dear, this film does not hold up.
Well, this is an interesting one. I think if I really like a film, I will like it forever. And I will refuse to deny that I would be like, it's good, that's it, it's locked right in. Because I knew you were going to ask me this question,
yeah.
I thought what I used to say my favourite film was, I thought I'd go back and watch it.
Oh, no.
See if it still holds up.
Not ruined your favourite film.
No.
Okay.
I went and watched Fight Club again.
Yes.
It's still fantastic.
Great.
It's don't worry about it. I suddenly panicked that it's like, I'd watch it again and it's a bit incel-y.
Yeah.
Like a bit men's rights activist-y.
And is it not?
It's got those elements, but I think it's satirising that before it was a thing.
Okay.
Because I love Chuck Palahniuk, my favourite author.
Right.
But it's just, it can feel a little bro-y, but I think he's also satirising that. And it's an amazing film, and all the performances are fantastic.
That's how I'm justifying the four in my mind.
Yeah. I am satirising it. I'm satirising MRA by being the leader of the movement.
It's very subtle.
So my actual answer to this, and it is a little bit upsetting to say, and it's for a specific reason. It's something that was one of my favourite films of all time, is Man on the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's spoilt for me by the Jim Carrey documentary.
I think I feel very similar. Yeah. I loved that film.
I think it's an amazing film.
And then you see the documentary and go on.
And he's an absolute tit. He's an absolute idiot.
You don't know, there's a documentary, it's called Jim and Andy.
Yeah.
And it's about Jim Carrey behind the scenes of the film Man on the Moon, where he's playing the actor Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
But he stays in character the whole time.
Oh.
And causes all sorts of chaos and trouble.
Imagine working in catering on that film. You're just trying to get your job done. And he turns up in character and, you know, driving a car into the wall and being rude to everyone and screaming at people. And everyone has to be like, okay, it's just part of the process. We've got to let him go through this. I reckon he could have turned in as good a performance if he'd not done any of that.
Without being a dickhead.
I think I get so annoyed by that sort of thing. I get so annoyed by actors going, I have to do this performance. Like, you definitely don't. Everyone here is doing a job.
Yeah.
You know, the cameraman's openly masturbating over there. It's part of his process.
Catering's not pouring beans over there. get them right. I agree with you. I do feel actors, like, just fucking do the acting.
Yeah.
Don't ruin everyone's day to do it. What I've never understood is when I hear, like, Daniel Day-Lewis is in character the whole time. If he was truly in character the whole time, when he did There Will Be Blood, every second of every day, he should have been going, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
looking
at
a video camera and a crane. Because it's set in, you know, 18...
He should be going, what is that? What is that? And someone's got to say to him, can you just move to the left because of...
Yeah.
What? Who are you?
Yeah,
what
do your lines. Do your lines now.
Yeah.
What lines? I'm not in a film.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Stop pointing the thing at me.
What's that sense. Going past? What's yeah. that car? Yeah, it's bullshit. I think it's absolute bullshit. It's happened again. I'm going to bring up Tambor again.
Problematic Tambor.
Problematic Tambor. That interview about Arrested Development where it talks about, you know, making people cry.
Yeah.
And they all jump to his defence and go, sometimes it's part of the process. You know, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
I have worked... Mostly, I've been very, very lucky. Any time I've made TV or film, I've worked with wonderful people.
Yeah.
I've occasionally worked with difficult people, and I have always thought, this is bullshit. We can do all this. Well, I don't believe you should be suffering. If you're not suffering, you're not making a good film.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, definitely quite the opposite. Not. You know, particularly in comedy, I think comedy thrives best if you're relaxed and
absolutely
free to create and stuff. If you're scared and everyone's going, fucking do it, this ain't funny now.
I also think you never really hear about those actors when the film's bad as well. So it's always when something good comes out that you're like, yeah, you hear what he did. He was in character all of the time and that's how he got there.
You know, I heard behind the scenes of Mr. Nanny.
He was in character all the time.
He was always Mr. Nanny.
Those kids were really electrocuting him. Apart from Jared Leto, actually.
That, yeah.
As the Joker, you hear about loads of stuff about him being in character all the time. And
that's true. I mean, that's...
What was he sending people? He was sending...
Dead rats.
Dead riches. And it was so shit. That's what I love about it. He was doing all that and it was so shit.
That's it as well. Yeah, it's really embarrassing if you're shit.
Yeah. Because Man on the Moon's, like, it's a wonderful film and yeah. I loved it for a long time, but I think it's gone slightly down in my estimations now I've seen what went into making it.
Here's the thing I found particularly disturbing in that documentary, Jim and Andy.
Yeah.
Is like, fair enough, you're being naughty. You've been a very naughty boy and you're causing all sorts of chaos on set. What I don't get is you pretending to be Andy Kaufman with Andy Kaufman's mum and dad and
That's
sister.
So weird.
That is weird. And them going, oh, it's so lovely. It's like being with our son. I'd be like, if it were me, I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That is weird. Stop it.
So uncomfortable. And I really liked Jim Carrey up until saying that. Now you make... He's a weirdo, isn't he?
I love that he's completely off the... That now he's like, nothing exists. And I'm like, all right, cool. Did that documentary exist? Because it was really disturbing.
Yeah, that's why he saw it. Yeah. Like, I'm going to have to say nothing exists to really cover my tracks on this one.
Anyway, opposite question. What is a film that no one likes? And you're like, come on, it's a masterpiece.
I don't really know what films... everyone likes or not. But my answer to this, which is always controversial when I bring it up, I genuinely believe it to be one of the top five Marvel films,
mm-hmm.
is Punisher Warzone.
I think it is considered a good one.
Is it?
I think so. It's more sort of cozy because it's not that big, but it's a good... It's the best Punisher one for sure.
It's by far the best Punisher one. It's so violent.
Right out of your street.
Slow. I love it.
People being hurt slowly.
Does that not count as an answer then?
No, I'll let you have that.
I've got another answer if you...
Okay, go on.
Well, we can discuss both of them. But my other answer I've talked about in other mediums before, and I genuinely love it.
Yeah.
And people think I'm an idiot, but I will die on this hill.
Mm.
The Butterfly Effect.
Mate, I will join you on that hill.
I absolutely love that film, and I think it's because...
You're right, it's considered very bad. I think it's good, the Butterfly.
And I think it's considered bad because people don't like Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
But he is good in that film. It's an amazing concept.
Yes.
And they carry it out very well. The sequels are bad.
Sure.
But the first one is an absolute epic.
And the ending is so dark.
Well, which ending are you talking about?
The dark one.
the really dark one. The director's cut.
The director's cut one.
The director's cut one. In case people that haven't seen The Butterfly Effect, it's about a young lad who has blackouts throughout his life and then realises that when he reads his diary of around the time of the blackout, he can go back in time and see what happened in that blackout and control things and change things. But every time he changes something, it alters something in his brain and he has a big nosebleed.
But it's based on that story by Ray Bradbury.
Yes, it's based on...
A Wrinkle in Time, I think.
Yeah,
where
sounds about right.
Go back in time and step on a butterfly and then hundreds of thousands of years later, dinosaurs are back.
It's a great concept.
Great concept.
I love it. The ending, spoiler warning. Yeah. The director's cut ending, he basically realises he's got to stop doing it because he's messing everyone else's life up and he realises every time he changes something for the better for him, something else goes horribly wrong. So you see all these horrible futures that he has to try and go back and change again. And the ending is he works out that if he looks at photos, he can also go back to that time. It doesn't have to be text. And he looks at a scan of himself when he was a little baby in the womb. He goes back to that and hangs himself with his own umbilical cord.
Night, night, kids.
Genius.
It's really good.
It's really good.
And then you realise in the film, the mum keeps saying, I had so many miscarriages.
Yeah.
Because he kept killing it. Kept
yeah, yeah.
It. Yeah. What?
Or whoever, all her kids had the same.
What's
thing.
The happy ending?
It's sort of the happy ending where he manages to fix it. But the whole thing is like him, he loves Amy Smart so much.
I love Amy Smart.
Amy Smart's great.
Yeah.
So he wants to make everything between them all right. So that's his main aim throughout the film. And then he finds out that the only way he can make everything all right for everyone is if he never meets her.
Oh, okay.
So the first time they meet as kids, he goes back and he's horrible to her.
Right.
And she runs off, so they never see each other. And then, like, much later on in life, they're, like, both walking down the street so happy, and he, like, sees her and she sees him, and but they don't know each other, and then they walk away. Yeah. So that's, like, the happier ending. Right. There's no okay. sort of baby suicide.
It's a very bold ending, baby suicide. And I
wish they'd gone with that for the theatrical release. Yeah. Oh, yeah, babe. Baby Suicide, starring Ashton Kutcher.
I don't know why I didn't make more money. What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily because of the film itself, but because of the events surrounding the seeing of the film. Could be a first date, could be something you did with your dad, something like that.
First time I went to the cinema with my girlfriend, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Ah.
Wonderful experience. Good film, I thought.
What date was this? How far into the relationship?
I'm not sure. I could probably do it by when it actually came out. But I can't
No,
really...
well, I don't mean date. I mean, sorry.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah. No, I'm trying to work
date,
out.
First date, second date.
No, it first wasn't. Date. It was probably a few dates in.
Okay.
It wasn't because...
run out of chat.
Run out of chat. We were like, I mean, I think cinema second date is a bit like, come on, we've got some things to talk about, surely.
Oh, I'm like...
Do you go second date?
Yeah, because I'm like, come on.
But you go to the, you go and see the film first to make sure it doesn't make you cry.
Yeah, check out the film first.
Yeah.
Also, I need to do a full background check on her to see if she talks during film.
yeah, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. So probably quite a fair few weeks, maybe a couple of months into the relationship was first film.
We had a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Also, we were just going out and getting pissed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This was your first sober date.
Oh, no.
I know.
So pissed.
And did you both love it?
She is really into the comics. Like, right. She loves Scott Pilgrim comics. So she was quite excited, I think. I wasn't too aware of the comics. But I think we both really enjoyed it. I've seen it a couple of times since.
It's a great film.
I think it's a great film.
Like, why is that one so special to you? Did it solidify something between you two?
Yeah, I mean, some stuff happened.
Okay. He just raised his eyebrow.
A kiss in the cinema.
Yeah! Sort of.
But I mean, we're already doing it all.
during the film,
Probably had a little kiss during the film. Seriously. You can't be doing that.
Not during the film.
No.
Why are you?
You're getting off on the back row, Brett.
Show some respect to the film. You can do it during the trailers, and you can do it in the end credits.
Yeah, but like that film's got a lot of big sort of fight sequences in it and stuff. And
so you just like
big loud film and a quick snog. Yeah. It's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
Many fantastic performances.
Well, you might have missed a bit. Who knows?
Well,
too busy snogging.
No, it just really reminds me of her and that exciting first part of the relationship. And now I'd like to watch it and go, God, do you remember when it was exciting?
I used to snog you, Jimmy. When was the last time we snogged to anything?
I'm just watching Inside Out and both crying.
Why are we watching this 25 times? So sad. Okay, that's lovely. I think we've come to the bit you've been looking forward to the most. What's the film you thought... Oh, God, I feel sick asking it. What's the film you found the sexiest?
Oh, yeah. It's so funny, Brett, that you only you would have this question.
I don't know what you mean.
What do you think's the sexiest, though? You've probably said it all.
No, I haven't. It's not about me.
But what do you mean by... I mean, it's so... It's well, sexy films... You... are sexy at different times of your life, right?
Yes, so you can answer this however you perceive it.
Like, but I think someone else... I think Nish might have brought this film up in passing. When I was much younger,
yeah.
The first 15 that I snuck in to see when I wasn't 15 was Cruel Intentions.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, Buffy.
Which is Buffy, like...
Buffy Kiss.
Buffy and...
Buffy Dribbly Kiss.
Buffy Dribbly Kiss with, what's her name, Selma Blair.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe my
life. You feel like you're getting away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, this is basically pornography, but we're watching it on a big screen with my friend Henry.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger and more expensive.
Huge. You can really see that spit. So really, really sexy film at that point. Now, obviously, it's absolutely ridiculous, that film.
What do you think of spitty kisses? You know the in films, A Life Less Ordinary, Danny Boyle film.
Right, I'm not
Danny
seeing
Boyle,
it.
It's got Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz, and when they finally sort of get together in a really exciting thing, they kiss and they pull apart and there's like a spit between their two lips and it's lit by the sun.
Yeah.
In a similar way to the Corn's Head, and I'm always like, did that happen accidentally? And they thought, that looks cool. Or do you think they went, do a spitty one?
Oh, yeah, that's... I hate it if they said do a spitty one.
Well, I'm sure they didn't, but then they've just kept it and gone, great.
But how many times do you think they did it?
Yeah, a lot. That's the thing.
I don't remember that being an extra on the DVD.
Just Danny Boyle do it again until it's a bit spitty. Oh, God.
Yeah, it must be like one where they probably went, oh, God, we did a spitty one by accident and we'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
And then they've got to the edit and they've gone, I think we're going to use the spitty one.
Because it seems real, doesn't it? And
yeah.
It gives it some... Okay, so Cool Intentions, that's one of your answers.
So I think it's probably films like I saw when I was like in a formative sort of pubic time of my life.
Oh, dear.
That's nice, isn't it? And it's particular scenes. It's not whole films.
No.
I don't think there's like bonerific films that you're like, it's the whole thing. You're like,
oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
I like podcasts too.
Hey, we've just
been... Hey, Lou, we're talking about sexy films.
We've just been gatecast by Lou Sanders. The show I saw today, and it was absolutely magnificent.
I love films.
Hi, Lily.
I just came in for a cuddle.
Okay. You were so good today, Lily.
Hello, mate.
Look, what a five-star show.
I'm going to do a podcast about cuddling.
Okay, great.
Does anyone want to be on it?
Yeah, well, sign me up.
Okay, great. So,
thanks for coming to visit.
You're just going to keep talking, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you after.
See you in a
bit. See you after, mate.
Bye,
I'll
Lily.
I'll wait for my cuddling podcast.
Okay, we'll go set it up and we'll see you in a bit.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That was TV's Lou Sanders, who is also living in his flat, and whose show... It's called Jane Big and is excellent.
It is excellent. I went really to see it the other day. So good.
And her cuddling podcast may be available on that.
Yes. What is the sexiest cuddle?
This one.
So I think it's scenes in films. So ones that really stick out in the memory, particularly, is Cameron Diaz's first scene in The Mask.
Mate, it is an incredible single shot.
It is amazing.
It's amazing.
And obviously, it's like, that's how, I don't think, when I'm like, oh, I talk about sex, it's like, it's just the intelligence of it. So she looks amazing. She's all wet from the rain and she comes into the bank.
And when people talk about the male gaze in cinema and some people say, I don't know what you're talking about, I go, just watch the shot of Cameron Diaz arriving in The Mask and that might answer.
It's very on the nose. I don't think I'm a sort of, I think I operate on one level, I think.
Yeah. It's not subtle, and I'm sure it's very problematic, but equally, it's magnificent.
Yeah, that's definitely one
that... It's really beautiful.
Yeah. I've also written Black Swan down as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's a generally quite sexy film throughout.
That's pretty sexy non-stop.
Yeah.
The scary dark bits. But for you, you love it. There's even scenes of humans being hurt slowly, so it's got a lot for you.
I don't like that we're perpetuating that's what I'm into. Saying I like some of the Saw films.
And Hostel.
But yes. I like Hostel 1.
Right.
Because that seemed like an interesting thing where they flipped on its head, where
it was boys
being led to their death by women. And then Eli Roth got to Hostel 2 and he was like, I'm just going to do it the other way around now. He's like, okay, you didn't realise what you were doing in the first one, mate. You did that by accident and now you've just done an absolutely standard let's kill loads of women.
I'll never have seen this. What, women being... Yeah, we've seen that.
We've seen it. We don't really like it anymore, mate.
We've seen it loads, mate.
Black Swan's a great film, generally.
It is a great film.
But very, very, very sexy film.
I love an Aronofsky.
Yes, so do I.
Do you like Mother? Mother?
I loved Mother.
Yes.
I mean, that could have been one that people, I could have said for one that people hated that I loved. I don't think I could see Mother again. I found it very stressful.
So stressful.
But I really liked it. What a ride. And I liked looking at all the, you know, just going, oh, that probably means that. That might mean that. Mm. You know, at some point you think it's biblical, then you think it's environmental.
Yeah.
And I saw it with James Acaster and we came out of the cinema and I said, what did you think? Because I thought it was like maybe Mother Earth and, you know, or maybe it was biblical, and giving him all the reasons why I thought it was biblical. And he went, oh, no, I didn't. I just thought it was about a man who was nasty to his wife. He genuinely didn't see any
took it straight.
Subtext. Took it completely straight.
Woman lived in really far away from anyone in this house.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what, when she has a baby and they have to sacrifice her baby to all these crazed followers? You didn't see any biblical undertones to that whatsoever.
You just thought it was pretty straightforward. It seemed to make logical sense.
Big Aronofsky fan.
I even like Noah. I think it's
didn't see Noah.
He's mad. I mean, he makes really, like... thing I really respect about him is he makes... somehow, he makes big films that are cinema films that cost a lot of money that are absolutely insane.
Bonkers, crazy.
And you think, oh, I've never seen anything like this. How did they allow you to make this? Yeah. I love it.
Just crazed. Like, mad. Like, even... I mean, Pi is bonkers. I've not seen that in years. Yeah. Requiem for a Dream is horrible, but...
I love it.
But fantastic. But the ending of that is...
happy.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard your theory on this. Yeah. It's not happy at all.
I'm going to have to refer you to the James A. Caster episode.
No, it's not happy
it's
at all.
It's a very happy ending. People have misunderstood that film for years.
Yeah, when you want cheering up, you just chant ass to ass to yourself.
You've heard me talking to myself down the street.
And I love The Wrestler as well.
Me too.
I love it.
Can't put a foot wrong. I love The Fountain.
Didn't see The Fountain.
Mate.
Should I watch The Fountain? I'm sort of coming on your podcast to get a list of films that I should have seen as well.
The Fountain, all the things with Darren Aronofsky, what he doesn't do, which is rare, he doesn't do irony. He's not like going, it's a bit like this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like The Fountain is him going, I want to make a film about love and death.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is the fucking film about love and death. And I don't give a shit if you're embarrassed by me talking about love and death. I love it. You don't get that. There's no like, I guess I am a romantic. It's like pure.
I like it. I think he's got a good body of work. I like auteurs. I sort of will forgive people a lot if they've consistently done like two or three good things. I think they're allowed a few missteps, like Tarantino as well.
Yeah.
Big Tarantino fan.
I am a very big Tarantino fan, but boy, is it problematic.
Yeah, sure, but.
What isn't?
Well. I mean, and when we say what isn't, we don't mean, bloody everything is these days. It's just, turns out a lot of things are.
The vast majority. Oh, hang on. There is a subsection.
Go on. Oh,
troubling boners, worrying wideons. Any film that aroused you where you thought, I definitely shouldn't, this is troubling?
It's probably some sort of Disney film.
Okay.
I've not really thought about it too much.
Mary Poppins?
Well, so that's the one, that's yours then, is it?
No, I'm thinking.
What, you just plucked Mary Poppins out of there?
Well, I was going to go with an animated one, and I thought, no, actually, I'd feel...
Is that
fine.
I mean, I prefer my nannies to be big and male, as you well know.
So is it like an animated princess or an animated animal?
I mean, there are some fit animated animals, aren't there?
Robin Hood's Maid Marian?
Yeah, Maid Marian's a...
lovely fox.
She's a literal fox.
A very, very charming one, too.
I don't think I've got... I mean, you whack eyelashes on any animal... I'd probably be up for it.
You probably like the caramel bunny.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah. Yes, please, to the caramel bunny. Jessica Rabbit, obviously, but not a rabbit. But I don't think that's not a worrying one, is it?
I think that's legit.
I think that's fairly well considered. Yeah. No, I don't think there's anything specific that I'd be... I'm never worried about that sort of thing. I'm like, well, there it is. Add that to the list.
Another one for the wolf?
Yeah.
I'm up to 12 now. What is the film that you relate to the most, that you've watched and you've gone, that is me, that is.
This is the one I found very difficult, Brett.
People do. Some people feel this one and some people don't. It's okay if you struggle with it. It might be something you aspire to. You go, I wish this was me. Or it might be, for an example, Lady Bird. Genuinely, I really felt a connection with Lady Bird, even though it was clearly is not my life. I very much related. I was like, yeah, I get it. I'm Lady Bird.
Yeah. It's a real tricky one.
Listen, if it helps, Stu Goldsmith said Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible.
Of course he did.
So, you know, it's how you interpret it.
Yeah, if I watch a film, I don't connect with the characters necessarily. I'll connect with it in a way of saying, this is very funny, I aspire to do something like this one day. It wouldn't necessarily be watching a film going, oh, I'd love to jump out of a plane like that. Ethan Hunt, that's so funny, of course.
I think he seems to be suggesting he does jump out of planes.
Yeah, right, okay. He
I don't think it was like, I aspired to be Ethan Hunt. I think it was, I am. Maybe it was a confession.
Right. Maybe something about just like young losers.
Okay.
You know, those sorts of, I mean, something like Superbad was one where I was like, yeah, That seems fair.
Michael Cera or...
no, fat one, mate.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, because I was fat. I was the fat one.
You used to be fat, didn't you?
Yeah, and I went to a boys' school, so there was a lot of, like, fat lad with a lot of male friends, because it's about male friendship. And yeah. So probably that film. But I've not seen it in years, and I've really plucked that out of thinner.
It's really difficult to imagine you as fat because you're so fit.
Thanks, mate. Hmm. There's plenty of photos.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem real.
Jonah Hill's lost a lot of weight now, of course, as well.
No, good luck to him.
Yeah.
Either way is fine. I love him either way.
It's great. Sorry, that was a shit answer to that one, Brett.
No, that's absolutely fine. I appreciate your honesty. What's the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
So, the film that I have watched a lot, and I've watched it a few times, but I know that in my future I will watch it a whole lot more, and I've watched it already at the Edinburgh Festival again.
Wow.
Because when I was thinking about this, I was like, I'm going to watch this film again.
Oh.
Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, Cabin in the Woods.
I think it's one of my favourite films of recent times.
Lovely answer.
I think it's a great horror film.
Yeah.
It's a great comedy film.
Yes.
It's incredibly inventive. It does new things with the genre whilst paying homage to the genre perfectly.
I mean, that's a perfect description.
And throws everything it's got at it. Yeah. And I can rewatch it over and over again because it's such a detailed film.
Yeah.
Like with all the possibilities of all the monsters that are going to pop out and the big list of monsters.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting, and I could watch... if they made sequels of it with a different monster coming in, I would fully watch that. And Bradley Whitford.
Bradley Whitford.
You need no other reason for a good film than Bradley Whitford.
Whitford.
He's so great. Bradley, are you a fan of Cabin in the Woods, Brett?
I am. I think it's a very inventive and sort of brilliant thing. Yes.
But yeah, I would watch it over and over again.
What film do you objectively think is the greatest one of all time? As in, might it be your favourite? We go, that's the best piece of cinema ever.
This is another one I'm going to struggle with because I don't think I've seen a lot of those sorts of films.
But it's your answer. If your answer is Cabin in the Woods, it might be. It's just for some people, favourite and greatest is actually different, but some people it's not.
Yeah, okay. But the sorts of films that you were probably talking about are things that are considered cinema greats.
Like Muppet's Christmas Carol or...
yeah, okay. Or like, of course, I would have loved to have seen Ben-Hur, but I had a snoozy man next to me. So things like Ben-Hur, and I've not seen Citizen Kane.
No.
I'm not going to waste my time with that.
It's actually good.
And but not, you know what I
mean?
I'll
tell you what, I'll tell you the secret about Citizen Kane that people won't tell you. It's not boring.
Right.
I know why you haven't seen it, because it took me a long time.
Yeah.
I'd tell you if it's boring. It's not boring. But it's quite fast-paced and loads of shit happens.
Citizen Kane, what else is there? Things like that, like...
Lawrence of Arabia.
It's basically... I may as well read a book.
Citizen Kane's not that long.
People
going,
you should watch that. It's no, I'm...
it's not even that long. Citizen Kane's like under 2 hours. Under 2 hours, moves very quickly. Honestly, I wouldn't lie to you. I'd tell you the truth. Look, Lawrence of Arabia is excellent. It's a bit boring.
All right, I will watch it. But a film that I have seen that is probably the greatest film of all time, and it's going to make you sound very lowbrow.
Sorry to interrupt. We've just been delivered a letter under our door from Lou.
Hello, finished yet? No.
We're nearly done, Lily.
Back to the Future.
An excellent answer.
Is that a good answer?
And a lot of people will be very happy to hear that.
Yes, I do. I like time travel. Love a time travel film.
Yeah.
And it's just a big, fun comedy film. Perfectly pitched. Perfect performances.
You like all of them? 2 and 3?
I hate 3.
Oh.
Don't like 3 at all. Really? And I really like 2. But I'm giving you Back to the Future is objectively the greatest film ever made.
Yeah.
I prefer 2.
Yeah.
Because I prefer the future to the past.
Me too.
And I prefer to see, I think it's more interesting to see the twists they put on something they'd already done and how they got to.
We got that one to have too.
Yeah. Yeah.
As Gandhi once said.
3, I think they were panicking.
Interesting. 3's a very popular.
No, I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of Western stuff anyway.
Right. Oh, that's a nightmare for you.
But yeah. Full on, isn't it? And I think it was just, it's just 2 in the West. So I'm not bothered about 3.
What is... I don't like being negative. We'll do it quickly. What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Worst film I've ever seen, and I hate to sound like a terrible reviewer, but I left before the end, is Mark Wahlberg's Planet of the Apes.
Okay, as someone who stuck to the end.
Yeah.
For once, I couldn't agree more. That is a genuinely, absolutely dog shit film.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I hate that film.
It's truly terrible.
And it's Tim Burton, who I love.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is... what happened? How is this a film? It's so bad and not fun.
No.
Not fun bad. Don't want to show people, you've got to see this. It's like, shit.
Yeah, because I like shit films. Like,
so do I.
Like my whole time at university, we For some reason, our telly didn't work. Like, we can get normal telly, but we had a DVD player, but we couldn't afford proper DVDs.
Right.
We used to go to the post office where they'd sell, like, DVDs for, like, £3, bin DVDs, and just buy up a load of bin DVDs and watch them. And we saw some awful shit. It's great.
Lovely stuff.
There's one we watched over and over again. It's called Shadowkeeper Gates of Time. And it features the best extra I've ever seen.
I love an extra.
Well, he's not even an extra, because I think they're basically filming a town centre and they don't have like the rights to film it or the money to shut it down.
Yeah.
So a guy, and they left this in, a guy, you see him coming, he walks around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to in front of the camera and then just rotates his whole body with just loose arms, completely floppy arms, and goes and smiles at the camera, flicks back again and then keeps walking. And they left that in. So I like that sort of shit.
Yeah.
But Planet of the Apes starring Mark Wahlberg, who... I don't want to be is negative, but is I don't understand what's going on. How is he?
Because the thing about Mark Wahlberg is he is sometimes a brilliant actor,
right?
And then sometimes he chooses not to be, right. and you sometimes go, why did you choose not to do proper acting in this one?
He can
do comedy. He can do, you know, he's very good in things like The Departed. He's funny and dramatic,
of course, yeah.
But then he sometimes turns up and like in All the Money in the World, and you go, oh. Why did you...
Was he in The Departed?
Yeah. He's like a funny cop.
Huh.
He's fine. He can do...
He's in The Fighter as well.
He's in The... Yes. He's in The Fighter.
Yeah.
And he's in Boogie Nights. He does it often.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So, no. He's got quite a good...
He can be brilliant. And sometimes he forgets to do acting.
A la Planet of the Apes.
A la Planet of the Apes and All the Money in the World.
Yeah.
Where he genuinely looks completely out of his depth going... Oh no, I forgot I signed up to do with proper acting. What am I doing? I'll wear these glasses and hopefully that'll do a character for me.
It's a very bad film beginning to end.
Angry thinking about it. And the twist, they try and do a new twist at the end. It's so stupid.
Don't do a new twist, lads.
Do you know what the new twist is? So stupid.
What is it again? It's...
So at the end, because they want to do a different twist, he gets on a spaceship back to Earth. So the Planet of the Apes isn't Earth in this version. So he goes actually to Earth, and where he goes, oh, finally we're here. But he gets out of his stupid spaceship, goes to the Abraham Lincoln statue, and it's Monkey Abraham Lincoln.
It's Monkey Abraham Lincoln, of course it is.
Either accidentally now flown to another Planet of the Apes, or Earth is now Planet of the Apes. I don't want to fight. And then two police Planet of the Apes arrest him.
I just don't know why. If you're remaking Planet of the Apes, it's one of the best... twists of all time, right? Don't go, we need to think of another version of this. And then someone goes, Monkey Abraham Lincoln? Done. That's in.
But the new trilogy, amazing. I think one of the best trilogies of all time, the new three.
So good.
Incredible.
Yeah, love it. Well, monkey technology's really come on.
It really has. And it grows over the trilogy as well.
Yeah.
I hate CGI, and by the third one, I'm into it. I'm like, you're okay, you look like a monkey.
Yeah, you really look like Woody Harrelson.
You pulled that off. You did that Woody for cheers. That's amazing.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term programme. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Maureen.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's the funniest? What's the film that made you laugh the most?
The film in recent years that has made me laugh the most in the cinema,
yeah,
because me and my girlfriend were the only people in the cinema, or so I thought, and I screamed laughing for the whole thing because I was very excited to see it, was Alpha Papa.
Oh, great film.
Absolutely, a laugh like a drain from beginning to end, and then realised there was one other person sat at the back of the cinema.
Who was
like,
it? Steve Coogan.
He just sat there nodding, going, correct.
That was funny. Who was it?
I know, I just must have wrote, it was just, I thought we were alone, so I was like, I feel free to howl with laughter at this, and then I turned around and obviously ruined someone's cinema experience completely. I love that film.
Mm.
I don't know how it's thought of.
I think it was well received when it came out, and and it's sort of not been, it's almost been forgotten.
Yeah.
It's no one considers it a classic, but I think when it came out, it was well received.
It's so there's
Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. I think it doesn't get the love it deserves.
Yeah, I think that's a truly fantastic film. And I like that they resisted doing it for a long time and sort of made fun of when TV series go to films and they always have to take it out of where it is. Yeah. And they always have to, you know, go abroad.
Yeah.
But this is just, it's like a massive budget extended action episode of I'm Alan Partridge, and that's why I love it. Also, another amazing cinema experience, Shaun of the Dead is one of the only times I've been in a rammed cinema and people were reacting to it amazingly, like huge laughs all the way through.
That's great.
Mm.
Two British films.
Yeah, but then there's Dumb and Dumber, which is one when I was younger, the first time I saw it, I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it, mate.
Yeah,
I must have seen that in the same year. I probably we got it on video and I probably saw it 15 times
and then saw Jim and Andy and we're like
I'm out. See the documentary of what he had to go through to capture the character of Lloyd Christmas.
What's your favourite film?
It's so difficult because I'm the same with music, you know, it changes so much because I get so obsessed with like watching some newer things and then suddenly it'll be replaced. It will just go like, oh, that's my favourite of recent times.
Well, you died today, so what was it today?
I tell you, the most recent film that I saw that I absolutely loved and was ranting about for ages was The Lobster.
Oh, great.
I absolutely loved that, but I can't say that's my favourite film.
Okay.
Because it's not.
Well, then don't say that then.
Oh, Brett, it's so stressful.
That would be a lie.
I might have to say Fight Club.
Okay, the incel film.
No, it's satirising it. Brett.
Okay, it's
fine. I don't think I'm ever going to be happy with my choice, but because we talked about it and I had to go back and watch it because I thought maybe it's rubbish and I went and watched it again and it's not, it's really good and everyone in it's amazing and it's another really cool inventive plot with a cool twist.
Yeah.
I might have to pick Fight Club. I sound like such a 15-year-old boy picking that.
It's okay.
It's not, you look so disappointed in me.
No, I'm not at all disappointed. I'm giving you that look because I feel your anxiety and I sort of want to make sure you choose this properly because this podcast...
Because I normally would have said Man on the Moon, but it was such a good answer for the other one.
Yeah, it was a great answer. I'm going to let you have Fight Club, you can have it.
Yeah, all right.
Now look, here's the thing, you've been a genuinely wonderful guest. I've absolutely loved this. And
everyone else picked really cool stuff for their favourite film.
You picked Mr. Nanny. Everyone else picked Mr. Nanny. But look, here's the thing. When you rolled down Arthur's seat, taking out...
I forgot that's what I did.
Taking out people along the way.
Yeah.
The Arthur's seat massacre, as it will forever be known.
Yeah.
I'll probably do an Edinburgh show about it. And I knew him. It'll be called I Knew Him. I Am Ed.
You do the final performance on top of Arthur's seat.
Yeah. And then we'll see what happens. So anyway, when you hit the bottom, because you'd basically picked up a lot of the people that you'd hit, like bits and pieces. Anyway, the point is, we put you in your coffin. There's a lot more to you than there was at the top of our seat.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? You picked up some rot, everything.
A lot of moss.
We crammed you in to the coffin, and unfortunately, you took up so much room. It's like the olden day. There's only room for one DVD.
Right.
For you to take to the other side. Now, on the other side, there's movie night, and one day it'll be your movie night. What's the film you're going to show everyone?
So there's only room for one DVD, as opposed to normal coffins.
Yeah.
Where it's...
Well, if you hadn't expanded and sent me right down here, we could have put all the films.
Right, yeah, as you normally do.
Yeah. All right. Have you been to a funeral?
So I'm gonna have to pick something, aren't
I? You can pick. It doesn't even have to be from what you've said.
Oh, okay. But it'd be good if it was, wouldn't it?
The point is, it's the film you're taking for eternity, and it's also the film you're showing to people out there.
So I need to think of something that's going to bring a good vibe to heaven.
Yeah.
And also that no one else will really bring, and something that represents me.
Yeah.
Because I want to be, all right, guys, party time. Ed Gamble's here.
Yeah.
So not Dear Zachary.
You can't have Dear Zachary.
Right, I can't have Dear Zachary.
I don't recommend taking The Exorcist to heaven, because I think that might be
problematic. Oh, no.
Well, maybe.
The Catholic Church love it.
I suppose heaven wins.
They love it, don't they?
Yeah.
Catholic Church. You want to big thumbs up. I don't want to take The Exorcist, no, and I don't want to take Saw. I don't want to take anything that's bumming anyone out. So personally, it's probably between...
Yeah.
I'm not taking Cruel Intentions.
You can take Scott Pilgrim.
I could take Scott Pilgrim. But I think, even though I know that a lot of people will probably take this to heaven, I'm going to take Back to the Future.
Lovely.
Because, what better? No, so many people are going to come to my movie night.
Yeah.
If I take Cabin in the Woods, people are going to be like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
This is not in heaven. This is all about sacrificing a group of teenagers to quell a demon. So I think it's got to be Back to the Future.
A film about incest. Thank you so much.
Did I get it right?
You have done very well on Films to be Buried With. I'm going to allow you to go to heaven with Back to the Future.
Thank you,
mate.
I
think you'll find you're going to kick yourself when you get there, because it's your movie night and you'll be looking at the schedule and it'll be Monday, Back to the Future, Tuesday, Wednesday, Ed's night, and you'll be like, oh, shit. I should have taken Cabin in the Woods. No one brought that. Anyway, you've done it. You've been an absolute delight. Have a lovely day.
I like it.
And don't let the bed bugs bite. Good night.
So that was Ed Gamble on a Rewind Classic episode. Be sure to check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get extra chat, video and mixtapes at various tiers. And otherwise, if you fancy leaving a note on Apple Podcasts, that'd be lovely too. But make it a review of your favourite film. Much more fun and way more interesting to read for everyone involved. Thank you so much to Ed Gamble for fun times and presents on the podcast. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to, and this is where Brett thanks me for editing and producing the podcast. So I say it is a pleasure. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. We will be back next week with another episode, but that is it for now. Brett and I, and all of us at Films to be Buried With, hope you're all very well. And in the meantime, have a lovely week. And now, more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind. Sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.